So you report you've got is UK, but you can scribble against it London data, because London is beautifully peculiar in the correct sense of that term. So that's good, isn't it? We are peculiar. We're very exciting, actually, in London. We're even more exciting than the rest of the UK, so that's got to be good, too. I don't know if I asked you how you felt the harvest field was, what your word would be. I'm going to read a little bit from Matthew chapter 9. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to start at verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I have the great joy of going all over the place with talking to Jesus and with other things. And it's really interesting finding out what people think about the harvest field where they are. So I don't know what you would say or how you would describe the harvest field in New Malden. Just have a little think for a moment. How would you describe the harvest field where you are? And how do you feel it? Has it changed over the years? Do you feel there's any change at the moment? Just it's a really good question, is it? How's the harvest? Is it plentiful? Do you feel it's really sparse? Is it hard? What's the ground like where you are? And what do the words of Jesus have to say when he says plentiful? Do we agree? Or do we go, ooh, I don't know? And it's out of this that, if you like, we're going to have a look at that harvest field, because we're going to have a look at the Talking Jesus research. Hopefully, maybe I'll try that one. Do you think that's going to click? Yes, marvellous. Didn't push it quite hard enough. There we are. So we're going to have a look at the Talking Jesus research. So before I ran Hope Together, I used to work for the Church of England, and I was in the middle of the Church of England. I had the rather hilarious title of National Mission and Evangelism Advisor. Bit of a comic one-woman role, isn't it, really? But anyway, that was my title, that was my role. I didn't quite know how I'd got into the middle of the Church of England. I was brought up in a denomination called the Brethren. I don't know if any of you heard of the Brethren, and I had what I call Pentecostal wings, because my grandmother and my great-grandparents were all part of the AOG movement. So I was a bit mixed, and then I ended up in the middle of the Church of England, wondering how on earth I had arrived there. But I used to work a lot with Hope Together, which was founded by a man called Roy Crown, and with the EA. And we were doing something, sounds really grand, people. We were going to do a denominational leaders summit. Don't you love it? I mean, the things we come up with. Anyway, so we were doing a denominational leaders summit, and we were going to talk about putting evangelism back at the heart of the church. And I said, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get all these great leaders together, and then we're going to chat about our anecdotes, the person we met on the bus last week, or what happened in our church, or all these things, and then we are going to extrapolate from our experience into strategy. I'd been in enough of these meetings to know that that was the likely outcome. And I said, do you think it would be possible for us to do a really big survey? I would love to do some proper research on what's happening outside the UK to discover what really is happening in the streets around our churches, behind all those doors where people live. What do they really, really think about us, about the church? What's our reach? What's our connection? That's what I really want to know. So they were like, oh, okay, do you think we can? I said, yeah, I think we could do this. So we went to a big research company. We worked closely with them, and we did this first in 2015, and then we promised that we would do it again in 5 years, but it hit the pandemic, and so we next did it in 2022. And so we're now listening to the 2022 data, and I've broken out London. And when it's significant, I'll tell you also about 2015. I'll tell you where we've changed in trends and what difference we're seeing right now. So we did it with an online survey, which took 10 minutes. We did it as we came out of the pandemic. It was a nationally representative sample, and we also had this practicing Christian sample. So most of the data I'm going to present is on a weighted data set of the UK. That means if you had a recipe to make up what the soup of the UK was, It would have enough, if you like, cinnamon in it. Oh, I don't know if you have cinnamon in soup. Enough salt in it and enough this of all the different pieces that would make that perfect recipe that's equal to the UK. So it's a really good, solid waiter. So it's got enough people from the different regions. It's got the right people across gender and ethnicity to make up the soup of what we call the UK. And then we have this oversample, which we just occasionally we have questions which we are just sending to practicing Christians, and I'll tell you when we're just looking at them. And that's a sample set that we created after the 2015 research, because some of the things that we learnt about ourselves as practicing Christians were so interesting and nobody believed them that we had to do a bigger sample. In fact, that's what happened to the whole research. We took this research, the denominational leaders in 2015, and they went, can't be true. So I thought that was a really good start. And so they said, you've got to do it again. So we put a hat around the room and we went bigger and wider. And anyone who knows anything about research, if you've done a proper weighted sample set, you get the same results. And then slowly, people have begun to believe the research. But it's been really interesting because the person they met on the bus or their experience or their perceived part of the world wasn't originally matching it. Now, my example is this. I don't know if you've... I've been married about 9-10 years, and I was very excited about when I got married because I used to share a room with my sister for all of our growing up lives. And we had 6 months when we decided we'd try different rooms. It was very boring. There was no one to talk to at night, so then we went back to sharing rooms. So I'd really missed her. She moved out, and I moved out. So I said, I get married, there'll be somebody to debrief with on the day. You know, when you climb into bed, you can chat about the whole day. My sister and I used to do this for hours. Some of you are really laughing because you understand this was a misconceived idea. My husband had a completely different bedtime routine, which is to go to bed early and read a book and switch off from everything. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to learn this new world and I'm going to have to read a book. But I'm not always the most. And I was like, the other night I got to bed, I was like, oh, I can't find a book. Oh, where's a novel? I don't know. I finished that book. I'm not interested in that. I don't know. Oh, I got one from my sister-in-law for Christmas. I pad about, open a box, maybe that one. Can't find it. What should I do? Get back into bed. Da, 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 da. And he is trying really hard to concentrate and read. And eventually he looks up and he goes, where is your Kindle? You've got 273 novels on that Kindle. And 1,000 others at the press of a button. What is all this padding around looking for a paperback? Because I was living in the paperback world. And I'd completely forgotten I was living out of my set beliefs that books are on paper. And I had not noticed this huge change in the world that books are now on electronic devices. And so this is a bit like this research. We're going to try to understand some of the things that maybe we have believed and why we've believed them, which are a bit like the paperback, and then understand the new world and actually what the data says, which is really exciting and hopefully will change our understanding of what we think is happening in the streets around your churches. Great? Good. So that's what we're up to. We're going to look a little bit at the state of the faith in the UK. Did any of you see the census data? And any of you see the headlines? Do you remember the headline? It was a bit like, oh, we've dipped under 50% of the UK who are Christian. Anyone remember that? Yes. So we knew that was happening. Okay, obviously Northern Ireland, they're not having that experience. So Northern Ireland, again, is particularly, again, like us, they are their own world. And we have been to Northern Ireland to talk about Northern Ireland, and we've done Scotland, and I've done quite a lot in Wales. So they're going to love me anyway. If there's anyone from Northern Ireland, I apologise now. They are living in a really, you know... So actually, it was very interesting going to them. They needed a completely different... Their data just behaving completely differently, which is why data is so useful, because it shows you what your world is like. So if we look at London in there, where about 45% of London would say that they are Christian. About 12% of London would say that they're Muslim. We're only 16% would say none of the above. They're not any of those things. They're of no religion. Atheist is 9%. Agnostic is 4%. So that would be of no religion, that 16%, which is a lot lower than elsewhere in the country. We are, in London, apart from Northern Ireland, we are the religious epicentre of the UK. So we are, again, we are really in a world where religion is more common, people are more familiar with those ideas, that people have faith. Therefore, it should be easier to come up in conversation because London is a melting pot where there is more religious language, religious dialogue, and there is basically more, if you like, in the big scheme of things, we are more religious. Interesting. What does that mean, though, about the Christian faith? So we're going to have a look at some of the other things that make London so interesting. We have a really interesting population in London. So in London, 23% of London is aged 18 to 24. 23% of London is aged 18 to 24. We are very young in London. And we've got 13% of London is aged 65 plus. And we've got 14% almost of the UK population is in London. We're mega. So we are a really huge population. We're a young population. And we are actually quite a religious population. And that is why London comes out so interesting. We also have another massive player. We are ethnically diverse. So we have a beautiful diversity in London, which is a real gift to the church. So we are 55% of London, it would be white, but then we've got a 9% white minorities, and then we've got the gift of 33% would come from different ethnic minorities. We've got 10% from the black population, 14% Asian, 7% mixed. We are this amazing melting pot. And it's a real gift to us. It makes us different to the whole rest of the UK. I even notice it when I go out of London, because I go out a lot to go and speak, and I just sort of walk into a room, and I am not familiar, you know, I'm not familiar with that room because I'm so familiar with London and the gift of the diversity of London. And it is in that gift of diversity which makes us actually the most, probably one of the most fruitful places for mission in the UK. And it's in our diversity, and it's a real gift to us. So that makes us quite exciting. So we want to know, you know that 45%. I don't know if you, do you get 45% of New Malden in your churches on Sunday? No. Okay, just checking. So actually it's a really interesting, when we got that headline, we're like, what does that actually mean? What does it mean that we dipped under the 50% mark in the UK as being Christian? It doesn't mean anything really. It's not like we suddenly dropped all these people out of church. So what does that mean? It's about cultural Christianity. And so actually we need a different measure when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ. Because that isn't a measure of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is a measure of a phenomenon called cultural Christianity, which is more prominent in an older age bracket than a younger age bracket. And so what could we measure as the team? I want to know how many people could be on the inside team for evangelism. Now, that's what I'm interested in. That's a much nicer question. So who's in that team? And what could I measure from a sample? It's quite hard to do it in a poll. I couldn't interview everybody. So instead of being able to interview everybody, we looked at three practices. We looked at whether people were part of a worshipping community regularly. Now, admittedly, regular has changed. When I was in the Brethren, we went 5 times on a Sunday, 3 times in the week, and that is what we called regular. But now, statistically speaking, regular is once a month. So standards have dropped. Never mind, we'll still go with it. But actually, a lot of these people did worship more than once a month. And we also looked at whether people prayed at least weekly, and then the big one, did they read their Bibles? Did they read or listen to their Bibles weekly? That was the big thing that really dropped the size of the team, because these are the people who are engaged, and that's what I wanted to know about. Who is truly engaged? So we asked people those questions about their behaviours, and from that, we then extrapolated who was actually in what we could say as practicing Christians. And London has a bigger percentage than the rest of the UK. 9% of London would pass those markers. It's 6% in the rest of the UK. There are more people in London who are part of a worshipping community, praying and reading their Bibles than outside of London. Probably apart from I can't remember now what the Northern Ireland data is. They're the only ones who could get anywhere near us, let's put it that way. Other than that, we're really far ahead. We have a greater army in London. And I cannot remember, but if you've got about 10% of a culture, you can shape a culture. So I feel in London, we need to be more front-footed. So we often react to culture, but we need to actually begin to work out how we could shape our culture, because there are enough of us together who have one voice. We're across denominations, we're across ethnicities, we're a wonderful mix, but we could, if we got ourselves organised, speak with one voice and speak into the culture of London rather than always responding to the people who think they're shaping the culture of London. Does that make sense? So we're a massive army. Now, there's a few more exciting things about this. Since we looked at this data, so I'm just going back to the big UK data. So 6% of the whole UK is a practicing Christian. 6% of the UK was a practicing Christian in 2015. We are not in decline. Just want to say that again. We are not in decline. How exciting is that? And the other really brilliant thing is we don't have a missing generation. So when you look at the whole of the UK and you look at that data, we have for each generational cohort, for the size of a generation that they take, it is the same number of people in that generational cohort. We have a slightly aging population in the UK, but for the size of their generational cohort, we are not missing a generation. So we have the same amount of same representative amount of 18 to 24 year olds who are active and practicing Christians. If you look at nominal, yes, we don't have as many nominal Christians. I'm not worried about them. They're just a different mission field. So somebody who culturally is affiliated to the Christian church is a different mission field to somebody who says, I'm of no religion. They're still a mission field. They're just a bit different. Does that make sense? What I want to know is what's happening to the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is not in decline. It does not have a missing generation. Even if you go home with that news tonight, wouldn't that be nice in the newspapers if they print that for us? But anyway, they're getting a bit warmer to us, actually, the mainstream media. They are getting a bit warmer. Great. So we've learned two fantastic things. The Church of Jesus Christ is not in decline, and we don't have a missing generation. What have we got here? Yeah, that's where you can see that we're high in London on practicing non-Christians to non-Christians. So Northern Ireland's actually, you know, doing quite well, but I feel we're outstripping them, which is very exciting. We've got great spiritual habits. We've got weekly church prayer and Bible. Look at that, for daily Bible of our Christians. So remember, that's not of 100%. So 45% of London is a Christian, and of that 45, 15% of them are daily reading their Bibles. What can we do with that? What God might God do with that number of people daily reading their Bibles? That's really exciting, isn't it? And that's praying, and then also the part of weekly church. We are a mighty, mighty army of God's people in London. And we need to not be afraid. Because what God can do with us if we offer ourselves together to make noise together could be really, really incredible. Great. So that's a little look at all of that. We're now going to have a little look at some of the big understanding about Jesus, how people understand Jesus. So do people think that Jesus actually lived and walked on earth? So in London, 66% of the whole population, we're back on the big, wide picture now, 66% of the whole of London think that Jesus was a real person, 19% think he's mythical or fictional, and 16% just aren't really sure. So it's not bad, it could be better. It's actually better than the whole UK stats. More people have an understanding of Jesus as real, which is good. Now, are you ready for a really exciting stat? With me? Ready? Watch the screen, because this is one of the jaw droppers. Belief in the resurrection of Jesus. 24% of London believe literally, word for word, as it is in the Bible, that Jesus rose from the dead. You're now like, okay, I was just about tracking with you, but I'm really not sure. This was the stat that nobody could believe when we did it in 2015. So we had, it's pretty big for the whole UK, but not as big as this. That's 16%. When you look at the whole of UK, that is 16%, not 24%. But in London, almost a quarter of London believe that Jesus rose from the dead. What could we do about Easter? If we really tried to do something together, one quarter of London think that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, if we all made a bit of noise, like together, we could make it the FA Cup final of the church. That was what our pastor in Wales said. Can we make it the FA Cup final of the church? Can we, like, now we're quite big at Christmas, but we need to go mega on Easter. So you've got a newspaper that you've got with you. It's called Am I Alive? So we looked at this data. We looked particularly at this, you see that 28% there. I believe in the resurrection, but I've got a bit of a wobble factor on my beliefs. So we looked at the wobble factor resurrection people, and we wondered how we could particularly reach them. They are not far from us, are they? This is the other thing. We kind of think if people aren't in the church, they're probably an atheist. But that's not the truth. There's a whole pile of people who aren't in the church, but they might think about, they're not sure about, but maybe, probably, hopefully, Jesus rose from the dead. I'd like a cup of tea with one of them, wouldn't you? Who'd like a cup of tea with somebody who probably thinks that maybe Jesus rose from the dead? Wouldn't that be a fascinating conversation? And they're across all ages, so we know that that bracket, again, is across generations. So we thought, how could we reach that group? So we looked at we worked with a big church called Kingsgate that's up in Peterborough. We worked with Bible Society, and we've created a film series around the five resurrection encounters of Jesus that you could invite everybody in New Malden to next year. It's not impossible. Let's face it, 24% of them already believe he rose from the dead. And then you're aiming to find the 28% with a bit of wobble factor. Do you see? It's not impossible. Knock on the door. Hello, we're from the local church. Easter is our big festival. We'd absolutely love it if you came and joined us. Oh, that'd be amazing. Thank you. Do you know, not everybody realizes they can come to church. You do know that, don't you? I keep forgetting it. So we did National Open Garden Day. It's not me who does the gardening, by the way. We have a lovely guy in church who just loves gardening. What a gift. And so we actually have a garden in London, and the neighbours were already doing open garden, and they asked if we would join them. You know, you open the garden with the yellow everything, and it raises money for cancer charities. So we did it with the neighbours, and we did it again, but just not this week, the week before. We had 450 people through for tea and cake. I felt very vicar's wife. So we had 450 people through for tea and cake and a jazz band in the garden, and it was wonderful and amazing. And I stood outside the front door, because I probably have, I love to chat to people. So I'm outside the front door going, hello, we're doing an open garden, would you like to come in? So this woman walks past, she was on her way to have her nails done at the nail bar. So I said, I'll come back later, I'll get my partner, I'll come back later. I've sort of moved back into the neighbourhood, and I'd love to get to know some people. But I thought, will she? Probably think that, don't you? Will she? She did. So she came back later with her partner, stood there, had cake and tea, and chatted. And I said, in my chat, I was talking about who we are and church. And I said, you'd be so welcome to come to church. Church is a great place to get to know people in the community. She said, what? I could come to church? You see, I sit inside the church thinking that all people outside the church know that if they wanted to, they could come. Okay? She's sitting outside the church, wondering, how would I get to know people in the community? She would never think of going to church because she doesn't know she's allowed. And she doesn't know how you get qualified to join this particular club. She doesn't know the code or the entry. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that fascinating? So everywhere I go, people think that people outside the church know they could come. Someone else was telling me is they dropped invites in to everybody, like really like almost Eventbrite invites through everybody's doors, like a really nice card. And people came to this church event with their going, I've got a ticket. We're like, you don't really need a ticket. We're here every week. But anyway, it's lovely, absolutely lovely you've got a ticket. Do you see? Because out here, they don't know that. They think you need a ticket. This woman had never been to church in her life before. Oh, so then I messaged her on Sunday morning and said, would you like to come? She said, yes, love to. She came round. I said, come round to mine 15 minutes before so we can go together. So we went to church together. She has never been inside a church before in her life. So there I am trying to explain. There's no point explaining. I'm not having to unexplain anything because she's never been. And at the end of it, she was going to clap like you do in a concert. Hooray. And she goes, oh, nobody claps. I'm like, no, actually, we don't. I don't know why we don't, but we don't. It's fine. Let's go and get a coffee. You know, because that's what you would do if you sort of watched something. But she just loved it. She loved church. She loved church. And there she was, outside the church, without a clue in the world how you would get into church. And unless I'd stood outside my house saying, hello, would you like to come into the... You know, and another lovely people in who run, they're really great evangelists, but they go out on the streets with a gazebo, da-da-da-da-da. But they had a neighbour whose husband died. And then they had a round for supper. Then they thought, oh, I know, we could do a craft club. Had a round for a craft club. And I thought, oh, I know, we could do a coffee morning. Had a round for a coffee morning. Well, eventually the woman sat down and said, what do I have to do to actually come to church with you? Like, I've done the craft club, I've done the coffee morning, I've been round for supper. Is there like some kind of exam? How many craft activities do I need to succeed at before I could actually come to church? Because they were doing, oh, softly, softly, don't want to be too, you know. Can you see? Isn't that interesting? And you're going to see as we go through this data how many people like that are out there just waiting for you to invite them or give them a ticket or whatever it takes. So Easter, you could do it in a mega way. Because I can guarantee to you from the statistics that there is a whole pile of people out there with somewhat belief in the resurrection. And we need them to have complete convinced belief in the resurrection. But they are not anti us. They're not against us. They're actually quite interested. It's just that we never asked them. Isn't that amazing? So that's what we're doing for Easter. I actually spray painted my street, but I do live near Brick Lane, so... But we spray painted the streets, we gave out newspapers, we invited people. I invited one of my friends who I've been journeying with for a long time. She absolutely loved it. It was so exciting, and she's now joining my women's Bible study group on a Monday night. I wouldn't say she's the whole way there, but she's coming along, and it's beautiful. And she loved meeting all the women, and she's just said, oh yeah, I really want to keep coming. So thank you, Jesus. That's why I want you to know I practically do this. I stand out on my street and invite people into gardens, and then remember. And the funny thing is, I had to suddenly remember, I was a bit busy on Sunday. I'd been speaking, I can't remember where, or it was Saturday. It's pretty shattered. I wanted to cook lunch for my father before I went off speaking somewhere else. I could so easily have said, I don't have time for this. I really can't do it today. And it's suddenly I must message her. Because if I leave it too long, do you know what I mean? It gets a bit difficult to invite. So you have to have that intentionality. Who can you pray for? Who could you invite? Who would you love to see here next Sunday? Who have you met in the park or in the shop? I've probably completely lost where we're up to. But anyway, resurrection, Easter, marvellous. Okay, buzz with the person next to you. Already, what's different to what you might have expected? Buzz with the person next to you. What challenges you? What's different to what you might have expected in those stats? Okay, great. Well done. We're going to power on just a few more. So we're going to have a bigger look at those outside. Have you ever played hide and seek with a three-year-old? It's always good to put the thing at you. When you try to hide something off, you hide yourself, you try to be really obvious. And it's almost like that. We would like people to find out about Jesus. It's always good to put Jesus where they might look. Does that make sense? So we thought we'd ask the non-Christians. So this is we can look at non-practicing Christians, and we're going to look at the non-Christians. Where would they go to look and find out more about the Christian faith? You can probably work out the answer. Where would you go to find out about the weather tomorrow? Where would you go to find out about your holiday? Where would you go to find out about what restaurant you might eat in, what the traffic's like? Anything. Google. Where would a non-Christian go to find out about the Christian faith? Google. So looking on Google was 26%. It's the same as UK, same for 18 to 24-year-olds. But also YouTube, 13% and 16% of 18 to 24 year olds would say they'd go to YouTube because they like to watch something rather than necessarily read about it. But don't worry, because reading the Bible came in at a whopping 24%. Okay, so since I've done this research, I have become a mega Bible woman. I think we can look for new things, but I don't know about you. I read my Bible every day, and when I read my Bible, what happens? God speaks to me. When you read your Bible, what happens? God speaks to you, you are transformed. When a non-Christian reads the Bible, what happens to them? God speaks to them. It's ridiculously exciting. And they also know about it. 24% of the non-Christians, and this is the non-Christians, said they would read a Bible. So we did some other surveys, because I love research. We did some research with some YWAM teams out on in urban centres, particularly talking to young adults, about was there a particular Bible they'd like to read? You know, how could I make this as easy as possible? A bit like the hiding Jesus thing. I'm trying to make this really obvious. And the things that mattered to them was it was needed to be a language they could easily and readily understand with no difficulty. And the other big thing was the word design. Because if you're 18 to 24, if it's a value, it looks fantastic. If it's damp and curling in the back of a church, may not say high value item. So we created, this is Mark, and that's Luke's gospel, because we realized that a lot of people do realize that reading the Bible, if they want to find out about Jesus, and we're going to find out in a bit whether there is that appetite, they would want to read something that looked good as well as just easy to read. So this is NIRV, and it is to help people find out about Jesus. And then we have little digital, these are my handbag ones, because it's a digital code and it takes you to, you can hear it online or read it online. Also beautifully designed. Because people who are not Christians know that if they wanted to find out about the Christian faith, they would read a Bible. That's really exciting. And they would also visit an open church or a cathedral at 16%. They would go to a local church in London at 18%. It's not bad. They would, non-Christians, if they're looking to find out about the Christian faith, would go to a local church. We also then looked at what questions people were asking outside the church. We used the Alpha questions, because there's a big partnership behind this research who helped to fund it, which is Alpha, CV Global, Kingsgate, EA, us. Oh dear, who have I forgotten? No, somebody else. Anyway, I feel really bad. I forgot Kingsgate. Did I say Kingsgate? Yes. Oh dear. Lewis Plough. Yes. So six groups got together, and we have got interest from even wider afield who will help us fund it again. Because I'd like to do it much bigger when we do it next time, because then I can break out, I can do much greater granular detail. So we asked these questions, they're the Alpha questions, and they resonated a little bit better in London, because only 18% of London didn't resonate with any of them. And the older you were, the less resonance there was. You just weren't asking what will make me happy. And there was one about what purpose in life. They weren't the ones you were asking when you were older. They resonated more with younger generations. What happens when you die did resonate quite well across lots of generations. And will everything be okay? It was also quite resonant across everybody, because of course we've been through a pandemic, we have now got an economic crisis, there's wars, and all of those things are making people wobbly about whether everything in their lives will be okay. Great. We then looked at this great topic, conversations about Jesus. And please remember, this is always about Jesus. We wanted to know how many non-Christians, and this is the non-Christians, in London know someone like you or me, but they had to determine that person was a practicing Christian. We gave them a clue by saying they probably went to church. And 57% of all of the London non-Christians know someone like you or me who is an active practicing Christian. They know us mostly as friend. 43% of that is in the friendship bracket. 19% is family. So we're different from the rest of the UK. We have friendship is really key in London. And that just, you know, neighbour is 10%, acquaintance 12%, workmate 11%, church leader 4%, not doing so bad, church leaders. There's not as many church leaders, by the way, as there are the rest of us. So that's why that percentage is not as large, for them to know everybody. Do you see what I mean? So, but the really important of this stat is you can't rely on your church leaders. Not for this. You can rely on them for many other things, but you cannot rely on the church leaders for the task of evangelism because they cannot know enough people to reach them. So this has to be a whole body task because we need to rely, particularly when we're coming into that friendship category. So 43% of those, 43% of that 57% is in friendship. So, hey, we've all got non-Christian friends. If you haven't, we might need to think about how we might get some. Just start going to Pilates or join a book club. Something like that. Whatever it is that takes your fancy. But when they do know us, what do they think about us? Now, just imagine an average sitcom. What would be the traits of the Christian in that sitcom? Have a little chat with the person next to you. What would be the traits of the Christian in the sitcom? That's a good thought, isn't it? I don't know if you've liked the portrayal of Christians and the things you've seen or gone, we don't look like that. That is, of course, if we're even there at all. Now, just think about this for a minute. If they were doing a drama on a street in London, 45% of those people should be saying that they have an allegiance to the Christian faith. 24% of those people should be believing word for word in the resurrection of Jesus. Most, if you saw a drama, there's hardly any of us there at all. And if we are there, we don't always look that good. So it's really interesting, isn't it? We've actually been whitewashed. If you think about Netflix, if you looked at America, there'll be even more people saying they're Christian. So probably even a higher percentage of all the people in any drama coming from America should be technically Christians, of which a very high number of them should be like really should be believing. But it's as if we don't exist. Who's writing those scripts? Because it's not factual. But what we do is when we watch it, back to the paperback book and the Kindle, when we watch the people who are discipling us, so we're discipled in more than one place. We're not just discipled in church. I'm so sorry talking to a church leader here, because we are discipled by everything that we consume and we receive. And so when we watch something, we're being often discipled by that. And it is telling us that maybe there's hardly any Christians, we're aged 85, there's three of us left, we live in Portsmouth, and the lights are going out next week. Do you know what I mean? That's if we're there at all. We're just almost airbrushed out. It's not true, is it? It's almost like, you know, we've been whitewashed out. So, and when we are there, we're not always portrayed as good. But, hey, look, we are liked. So, 64% is the little black bits that is London in grey. 64% of the non-Christians said that the practicing Christian they knew was friendly. Whee, look around the room. Of course they did. Genuinely, they like you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I've seen that stat change so many rooms. We can be really confident to say we're a Christian because they like us. Of course they do. With the person on the street that they would come to in an emergency, they know that we will help them. We are extraordinarily beautiful and lovely and wonderful, friendly and caring people. It's exciting, isn't it? And we've got a bit of generosity and good humour thrown as well. Hey, look, London's more good humoured than the rest. So, great, I love that. And we're even more good humoured here in London. But isn't that exciting? And so not how we are portrayed. I'll just let you into a little one there. So this is part of, I feel, that whole discipling thing. When the BBC wanted to get, they wanted a headline for 2017 on the resurrection. Remember, we'd done that research. We'd found 44% of the population believing in the resurrection. That included the word for word and the wobble factors. But ticking, I believe in the resurrection. They went to Savantah Comres. It's the same polling company because lots of people use them. Can you help us to do some research? We want a headline for Easter Sunday. More people believe in reincarnation than resurrection. Can you help us? Yeah, have we got any questions? Yes, they gave us our question and other questions from other polls. They did the poll. They discovered that 44% of the UK population, just like we had 2 years ago, believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Did you read that in 2017? Oh, no. What you read is the percentage of people who tick that they were Christian, who tick that they do not believe. That was the headline. 13% of Christians do not believe in the resurrection. Has the church failed in its discipleship? Well, I was fuming. I was like, how can you possibly write that from that research? And then I began to understand. Who's behind that research? Are they a lover of Jesus? Do they want to encourage the church? Or are they just trying to wither us away? One headline after another. I went on local radio stations. It was great fun. In those days, you sat in a booth. Hello, local. Hello, Radio Leicester. Yeah, hi. Do you think the church has failed? Well, not really. Did you know 44% of the UK population believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Where did you get that from? Your research. And so this went on, round and round the UK. And they said, that can't be true. That cannot be true. I said, well, either all your research is wrong. Either all your research is wrong, or actually you are living in a bubble. And that's the problem. Our thought leaders, have they ever got it wrong before? Have they ever misunderstood how the population might vote on something? Because they live in a bubble. They live in their bubble with their friends who do not believe, and then they are trying to educate us in their discipling a nation. We need to disciple. I'm not anti, by the way, all the media. There's some amazing Christian people in media. We need to pray for them. We need to back them. We need to support them. And we need to pray for a lot more. Because we have to change the story. Great. We're off. Okay, what are we talking about next? We asked us about when we last talked, and we were talking about our faith. 38% of the London practicing Christians, remember these are the people who are reading their Bibles, praying, and going to church regularly, said that they had talked about their faith. So that's pretty amazing. We then asked the non-Christian whether they'd ever had a conversation with that Christian. 58% of the non-Christians who knew a practicing Christian in London said they had had a conversation with one of us. Well done. Well done. You're talking. That's brilliant, isn't it? This is amazing. When we have that conversation, after that conversation, we're back to the non-Christian. 44% of those non-Christians want to know more about Jesus. 44% of those non-Christians after that conversation in London want to know more about Jesus. That is higher than it is anywhere else in the UK. Anywhere else in the UK. 44%, almost half of the non-Christians that we speak to after that conversation. We're not talking spirituality, we're not talking peace, we're not talking, you know, we're talking Jesus. I asked them about Jesus very purposely. Well, that's quite staggering, isn't it? Would you like a cup of tea with one of them? So I can guarantee you, statistically, that there are people in New Malden that you've had a chat to or someone else has had a chat to who genuinely want to have another conversation about getting to know about Jesus. Did that just make the task a little bit easier? And you're like, are you sure? Genuinely, I am sure. Because the stats tell me. And 42% would like to experience or encounter Jesus. I mean, is that not the most staggering piece of information you've received? Would you like to help any of these people to encounter Jesus? And suddenly you begin to realize this is not impossible. Getting out that invitation card is such a great moment. Something is happening right now in the UK, and so this has gone up since 2015. I think it's particularly the wobble factor of the pandemic, economic crisis, the wars. People are very uncertain that the foundations on which they've built their life are actually working. And they are looking to the Church of Jesus Christ for answers. And we do have answers. His name is Jesus. They want to experience or encounter Jesus. I just love that. I just love that. We just have to go find them. It's not everybody, but that's okay. If you knock on a door of one of the 46%, don't worry about it. Carry on and find one of the 42%. Do you see? Don't have to find them all, but let's find some of them. And don't worry about the ones who are currently saying no, because the Lord's got those on his plan. He's sorting out them. But what he's saying is, we could find the ones who are open. They're actually there. They're genuinely there, like that woman who said to me, what, could I come to church? And I'm like, wow, oh yeah, sure. And if we hadn't even, the garden thing just helped us reconnect, connect with more of our neighbours. It's just such an exciting opportunity. Right, we're going to do a few more slides and then we must stop, because otherwise we'll never get to sleep tonight. How people come to faith, we had a big sample. This is really important. A lot of people come to faith in the younger years, but actually people can come to faith at any age. So you with me with that? A lot of people come to faith in the younger years. Everything you do with children and young people is really, really important. Then I'm actually going to, so if you're looking at that whole spectrum right across the whole thing, so many of the people answering this survey might have been older who came to faith when younger. These are the key influences that bring people of all ages to faith. Obviously, growing up in a Christian family, we need to resource all our parents in, you know, discipleship in the home. It's really important. Number two, look at that. Oh, yes. Just in case you've forgotten, reading the Bible. Not only do the non-Christians know to read the Bible, but when we do, when a person reads the Bible, they come to faith. This is, no, I've got no new techniques for you, by the way. I've got absolutely no new techniques for you. I'm not giving you any new tricks. Evangelism is really very simple. And it still is really simple. It's the same as when, you know, in the Bible, the early disciples went and found it. It's like, come and see Jesus, come and meet him. This is what I've done. I was reading, we were in Luke 7 on Monday night, and it was brilliant when I realized how Jesus, two of John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus and said, are you the Messiah? And he said, just like, hang around for a bit. And there was lots of people being healed and things happening all over the place. And then he said, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and what you've heard. Brilliant technique. Go and tell, you can put any person's name in, Barbara, what you have seen and heard. Go and tell Matthew what you have seen and heard. That is, it is as simple as that. There is nothing new. And about seeing and hearing, this is how people can see and hear the life of Jesus. And the Spirit of God will work every time they read a page. So I haven't come with any exciting new tricks, you'll be pleased to know. I've come with things that have worked for a long time. We maybe have just forgotten about them. There's a whole pile of other things. Look, church schools, visiting, praying, you can check them all. They're all in your report. And then this is how adults come to faith. When you're over the age of 18, the biggest influence in bringing an adult to faith is a life event. We collectively in this country have been through a life event during called the pandemic. We then went through an economic crisis. People are going through life event, whether they've lost a job, gained a job, given birth, somebody's died. That is the moment in which, so often people have decided what they believe by about the age of 26. So we have an openness to the, but then after that, you track along, but then something comes along and it just makes you question your foundations. And it's in that openness that many adults come to faith. So we need to remember that in our thinking of when people are most open. And then Christian family, church service. Anyone got anything to do with that? It was actually, my friend loved just coming to a church service. She didn't have to do anything. She didn't have to discuss anything. She wasn't asked any pertinent questions. She could just come and be with a whole pile of people worshipping Jesus. That's enough to make you ask some questions, isn't it? What are all these people doing? Are they mad or is there something here? And often people are touched, aren't they? They are touched by the presence of God just because God is moving. I could tell you story after story. I'm going to, a spiritual experience. Oh, reading the Bible. Conversations with Christians you knew well. That's us just talking and getting out there. Responding to the gospel, we need to remember to ask people if they want to follow Jesus. It's just something we've forgotten to do a bit in the modern day. Lots of people want to follow Jesus. A bit like being asked to church. People need the church. Would you like to make that decision today to follow Jesus? We just need to do it. We just need to keep putting it into, we need to make that regular in what we do. Christmas and Easter, we definitely need to ask people, do they want to follow Jesus? They may not know the full implications of that. We can then sort them out and take them on whatever particular exploratory course you want to take them on, but we need, or get them in your Bible study group, whatever it takes. And Christian printed media, so we're really committed to what we print and what we give out. We are coming to land. All of these things come together in one. I'm going to give you one example of one group of people in society, because it's so jaw-dropping. This is another piece of research we did called Talking Toddlers. 12% of all of the parents with a child under the age of 5 are in that practicing Christian segment. So we're knocking it out of the park with that group. But 62% of all of the parents with a child under the age of 5 are in touch with the church through some of the things that we do that are like toddler groups, play schools, and all these other things. And of that 62%, 55%, because they've come along with their child, have examined their own faith and belief. Well, I wonder if we could help them. Of that 25% that's left there, who are the rest of the parents with a child under... So, by the way, we've got 74% reach in the nation of every single parent with a child under the age of 5. Is that not jaw-dropping? Of that 25%, a third of them would like an invite to what the church does. It's just that they don't know a practicing Christian and no one's invited them. We could have an almost 82% reach of one generation. What could we do with it? I was singing worship songs to Jesus when I was 3. I fully understood that he was my friend. My theology was probably a bit dodgy, but you know, I knew him. So if you have anything that works, I mean, go to the census data and check who's in your community. If you've got parents with children under the age of 5, that is a cracking place. But welly some resource behind it. Don't just leave a few people straggling around trying to make this happen. This could be key function. A lot of churches have grown when they've really put some thought in behind that age bracket. It is an staggering, we're using, there's only at the Entertainer Toy Store, there's a lovely man who runs that, he loves Jesus, and so we're going through the Bible with his characters, and we create another book. It's not quite the Bible, but you know, it goes through the stories of the Bible with the Happy Land characters for the under fives, with animations and songs, to really equip this happening on a massive scale. Because when I saw those stats, we could reach one whole generation for Jesus. If we reached every under 5 and they had a living experience and encounter with Jesus, and they learnt to pray, and they learnt to know his name, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Our churches would be swamped. Do you mean if we carried them through? So that's, I just have to throw it in, because it's not talking Jesus, but I can't not throw it in, because it's such a staggering statistic. Okay, so... the harvest is, we're just going to, yeah, the harvest is plentiful. That is what all of these stats tell us, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are people right here in New Malden who really want to know about Jesus. You just have to find them. You can do, I don't know, and there's not a new technique. Things like door knocking are going really well in London. You're just from the local church. You just say, hello, we're from the local church. We'd just love to know how things, we know times are tough. We know times are tough. We've come from the local church. We'd love to pray for you. We'd like to find out how we could serve you. We'd love to offer you a Bible. We'd like to tell you that our church is always open. You are always welcome. I tell you, most of the doors will not slam in your face. A lot of them will be like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. This is what I'd like prayer for. They did a survey in Billericay, out Essex Way. Church did a survey around all that, and they found the number one problem in that neighbourhood was isolation and loneliness. Isolation and loneliness was the number one problem. We've got an answer to that, haven't we? We're amazing. Church is fab, you know, for community. So I've not come with a new text. You could door knock. You could stand in your high street, actually, probably the pile of Bibles, and chat to people. You might notice some other people are doing that. They're called the JWs. They've got free Bible course on the top of their stands. And the other day, I got dropped off in a town somewhere, and I could see one person chatting to them. I went back into Marks and Spencer's. By the time I came out, another person was chatting to them. So if we don't do it, someone else is going to do it. We want them to find Jesus, really find Jesus. We want them to have a hope, a really solid hope. So what's happened is that some of the things we gave up on, and if you're Gen X like me, you'll be like, I can't do that, that didn't work. It didn't work then, but it will work now. Does that make sense? So we got trained out of doing it, but it's because everything changed, the culture changed, the people we're meeting has changed. So we need to revisit some of the things that we stopped doing. Open some gardens. You don't even have to be National Open. Maybe just have New Malden open garden. It doesn't really matter how beautiful it is. Just serve tea and coffee and invite your neighbours. It's really not that difficult, is it? And whilst you're at it, make sure people have got something to take away and invite them to church. Really, that is the summary of talking Jesus. The big thing is, I can guarantee you there are people out there right now who want to either know Jesus or experience or encounter him for themselves. Isn't that exciting? Fabulous. If you're interested in any of these things, you've got a little card about us, the red card. You've all got a newspaper. Do come and have a look at these. We do these in, like, Mark is £1.25 if you buy 1,000. I know that's quite a lot, but you could probably get rid of 1,000. So we try to do them so that I'm not trying to be a publisher. I'm trying to be a missionary. And we want to serve the local church. Thank you.